Have you ever felt like you are in crisis? Have you ever felt depleted, like you have nothing left to give? In the Old Testament passage today, we read about a time of drought and despair when God sent Elijah to Zarephath, to a widow and her son. Though ancient, this story provides at least three lessons that are relevant to our lives today, and especially our lives when and if we find we're in crisis. Under the oppressive rule of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, Israel was in crisis. They ordered the murder of God's prophets. They brought in foreign gods to litter the temple. And for all intents and purposes, they dismissed Israel's God. Similarly, Elijah was in crisis. He told King Ahab there would be a drought that would devastate the land and the people of Israel. And this put him in King Ahab's crosshairs. And Elijah fled for his life. At first, he fled to a brook, a hidden brook of water, where God sent ravens for him each morning, carrying food in their beaks. I was thinking about this week. I put myself in God's shoes, which I try not to do that often. But I thought, if I were God and I had a prophet who was surviving on the edge of a brook, how would I send food to him so he would be inspired by the power of God? And I think, you know, I'd have drums beating and then rock and roll music begin and lions bringing the food as eagles swarmed overhead. But instead, God used ravens, scavenger birds that were seen as unclean, the last creatures you would expect God to use to bring food to Elijah the prophet. And then the most surprising chapter comes in today's reading. When the brook runs dry, God tells Elijah to go to the town of Zarephath, a little nondescript Gentile town. And there God doesn't send Elijah to a wealthy business owner. God doesn't send Elijah to a powerful politician. But God sends Elijah to a widow with a son, and they're about to starve to death. And Elijah delivers this message from God, and we read that the widow shared what she had with Elijah. Through hidden streams, and then through ravens, and then through the generosity of a Gentile widow who was starving, Elijah learned that God's presence is not bound by human expectation. At every stage, God supported Elijah from unexpected places, with unexpected hands, and from sources that Elijah never could have anticipated. Henry Hayes was in crisis. He was on death row in the Holman Correctional Facility in Alabama. Henry's father was a notorious leader of the Ku Klux Klan, and Henry followed in his father's footsteps and was eventually convicted of murder and sentenced to death. He was a product of hate and of racism and of violence. The word compassion wasn't even in his vocabulary. Yet just a couple cells down from Henry Hayes was Anthony Ray Hinton. Anthony was black. There was something different than Henry saw in Anthony. Anthony had a different outlook on life. Even on death row, Anthony would say hello with a lilt in his voice. He would share a joke almost jovially. He would ask about Henry's day. In this place filled with hatred and bitterness and despair, Henry began to glimpse something altogether in Anthony. At first, Henry was naturally suspicious After all, he'd been taught to hate everything that he saw in this man. But Anthony's compassion and his kindness were consistent and steadfast. As Henry neared the date of his execution, his father came to pay him a last visit. And during their conversation, Henry waved Anthony over to their table. The tension in the room escalated as the correctional officers looked on. And then Henry said to his dad, "Dad, I want you to meet this man here. He's my best friend." Henry, while on death row, while facing his greatest crisis, where hope seemed extinguished, there he found friendship and companionship and compassion from the least expected source. He found it in a black man who he'd learned to hate. And that's the first lesson for us when we're in crisis. God shows up in unexpected ways and often through unexpected people. God sent unclean ravens to provide for Elijah in the wilderness. Then God sent Elijah to a Gentile widow on the brink of starvation. And a member of the Ku Klux Klan found compassion and friendship and maybe even love from a black man sitting on death row. You see, God's help doesn't always come neatly packaged in the way that we think it should. Or as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Anthony Ray Hinton's story didn't end there. He became a lifeline to countless of his fellow inmates on death row. One of them was a man named Michael Lindsay. As Michael's execution drew near, he was overcome by anxiety and fear and dread. Anthony spent hours listening to Michael and praying with Michael and reassuring Michael. On Michael's final night, as he was offered a last dinner, he invited Anthony to eat with him. And over dinner, Anthony reminded Michael that Jesus, while on the cross, told the thief hanging next to him that today he would be with him in paradise. In the midst of his own crisis, Anthony reached out with compassion and reassurance and love to those around him, to others who were in crisis. Think about the widow of Zarephath. This drought had certainly devastated her resources. Every day her supplies dwindled further and further. The flour jar was nearly empty. The oil was down to its last drops. Her future seemed hopeless. Her son's future seemed hopeless. And then along came a stranger named Elijah, running for his life. She could have focused only on herself and her child and her pantry that was running empty and her despair that was growing day by day. But instead, even in the midst of her own crisis, she looked to support Elijah. She helped meet his need. And she took the little she had left and she made a meal for her son and for herself and also for Elijah. She found a purpose that lifted herself above her circumstances. And that's the second lesson for us when we find ourselves in times of crisis. It's often in our pain and through our pain, and possibly even because of our pain, that we're called to serve others. Isn't that the message of the gospel reading today? A poor widow who had just 2 copper coins worth just a penny, but she gave them away. She was concerned about others. And on this Veterans Day weekend, it's clear that this message still is important to the world today. Despite the uncertainty and the threats of violence, our veterans are men and women who committed themselves to a purpose larger than themselves, who committed themselves to serving others in their way. C.S. Lewis said, "The real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually expect it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes and fears for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other view, letting that larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." We are all beset by fears and anxieties, and we're often called to serve others precisely when we are in crisis, when we feel weakest, when we feel most vulnerable, when we feel like we have nothing left that we can give. That's when God calls us to step forward. You see, serving from a place of vulnerability in the midst of a crisis, that's what leads to real humility. That's when we learn to recognize that we are dependent on God for so much. The widow of Zarephath had no guarantees, yet she trusted that God could work through her small act of faith. Anthony, despite knowing the certainty of his ultimate fate, decided to live out the days he had with purpose and joy, offering compassion to the prisoners around him. He eventually created a book club that met weekly, and these men, even in their isolation, could connect and grow and dream. He helped create a community where these men could, even for a short period of time, escape the walls that they were locked within. And through this book club, Anthony helped these men remember that despite their crimes and their convictions, they were still worthy of compassion and friendship and love. You see, Anthony's work was so powerful because he created this community. Elijah and the widow of Zarephath were from vastly different worlds, a prophet of Israel and a Gentile widow, but God brought them together in their crises. Elijah fleeing from a land that had turned on him, and a widow preparing for her final meal. But together God created a partnership of mutual support. Their relationship became a testament, an image of the power of community and the importance of leaning on those around us in our crises. And together they witnessed a miracle as this food didn't run out day after day after day. And that's the third lesson that this passage teaches us. We're called to live in community, finding strength and sustenance not only from God, but from those around us. We're meant to lift each other up, to share even the little we have, and to let God do the rest, because when we do, that's when miracles can take place. As we read today, the jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. For Anthony, after decades of love and generosity, he experienced his own sort of miracle. For years, Anthony had proclaimed his innocence. But it wasn't until over a decade after his conviction that Anthony's legal team finally secured top forensic experts who determined that the key piece of evidence used to convict Anthony actually proved his innocence. His appeal took a full 16 years, but in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned his conviction. Anthony was set free after 30 years on death row. After his release, Anthony explained, "Hope was a choice. Faith was a choice. And above all, love was a choice." As we look at the stories, at the journey of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, and even of men like Anthony Ray Hinton, we have these three lessons that can uplift us through our own crises. First, remember that God's support, God's help can come from unexpected sources and in unexpected ways. Second, remember that it is in our weakness that we are often called to serve others. And third, remember that when you are in crisis, you are called to reach out to those alongside you. You are called to build a community. So in our own struggles, in our own times of drought or our times of doubt, I pray that we each can remember that God is at work in our lives, because the God who provided for Elijah, and the God who sustained a widow, and the God who brought love to a prison cell, that same God is at work in our lives, reminding us that hope is a choice, faith is a choice, and above all, love is a choice. Amen.